Greetings, everybody, and happy Sunday. It's time for your Sunday episode of the Bite-Sized Blessings podcast. In this episode, I'm introducing you to Elizabeth Makepeace. And once again, another splendid human being and another incredible interview. Elizabeth has had many experiences that kind of defy credulity. She tells a story about being in a car crash. It was a pretty catastrophic crash, but somehow she survived, so she tells a story about that. Elizabeth calls herself an intuitive warrior and honestly has some really incredible stories that she shares in this episode. But the big thing about Elizabeth and the thing that she really emphasizes and that we talk about in this episode is that we are all creating what we experience. And we get to that a little bit later on in the conversation, but especially she wants us all to know that you are not broken. We all identify as being individuals and separate from each other, but this is just part of the illusion. And many of my guests have said the same thing. We're actually powerful beings that can tap into the very essence of the universe, and we're all connected. She tells some really provocative and interesting stories in this episode. But enough about all that. It's time for me to actually introduce the guest. So here's my very next episode with Elizabeth Makepeace.
First of all, she told me about a car accident I had and told me my dad was there and four others. And, you know, a car accident that no one knew about. There was no other car. So it was just me. And I'd done it like 360 in the middle of the road. And everyone was like, how did you not flip the car? And when I said something to her, she said they all sat on the boot of the car so that it didn't flip. How do I self-describe? I'm definitely an introvert. You wouldn't think so online, but I need space, right? I'm someone that loves to be by myself, a homebody, someone that I'm very energetic. I tend to feel things a lot. And I don't describe myself as an empath, though, because there's so much definition around empath, you know, like that we take on other people's stuff. I tend to be someone that can feel energy, but I don't necessarily take it on. So I'm an observer more than anything else. Other people describe me as very patient, a really good listener, a huge heart. I have a lot of people say that I'm very caring and loving and supportive and nurturing. So I just really enjoy being aware of people and what's going on for them. And so people tend to gravitate to me because I've got that motherly energy, you know, like people feel comfortable sharing their stories with me. They just feel safe and trust me straight away because I just have that energy of, you know, no judgment, because I'm very curious about who people are. And I've had some crazy stories told to me that are really wild, and had people say, I can't believe you didn't judge me for that, you know, because I might ask, wow, how did you feel when that experience happened, you know? No one's ever asked me that before, you know, and it was, you know, like that gives them the opportunity to open up to themselves even more. So
I love that. And I think that That's, you know, in the Catholic Church, they say everyone's born with some charisms, and those are gifts, you know, the gifts from the gods that are bestowed upon us. And, you know, my brother, sister, and I have the charism of people coming up to us and just telling us these stories, you know, these stories that you think to yourself, wow, we don't even know each other well enough to, should I be hearing this? And I think that's a really beautiful gift to have, where people just kind of implicitly trust you, or they feel comfortable with you. They feel comforting in your presence. So you must kind of exude, as you said, this kind of motherly air, this air of being open to hearing someone's story. What a huge gift to help other people feel safe so they can share that with you.
It is. And it's, it's something that we all should have, right? Like, be way more accepting of each other and aware of, you know, like, we are all here having an experience, and whatever your experience is of being human is your experience, and we have the opportunity to understand each other way more when we get to know, well, how did you come to that? Or how did you feel? You know, like, it's so wholesome, or what's the word for it? You know, like, to hear somebody else's story and how they experience themselves gives more to me, you know, like, it's way more opportunity to express myself and to experience myself, you know?
And I think that's so beautiful. And I love that people just intuit that about you, or they feel that about you. When you were a kid, did you have a sense, like, I would love for you to describe what you're doing now, right? Just at this moment in time, because we're always evolving, we're always changing, we're always adapting to this world or our vocation in it. But what, and as a child, did you sense that this is where you were heading, or were there any moments where you understood that maybe your life was going to be somewhat different or singular?
I didn't realize, but I actually did. at the time, of course, I wasn't conscious of it. But so what I'm doing now is I've been a healer for 25 years, and I recently came across, about 4 years ago, The Secrets of Alchemy and a process called recoding. And so because I met the love of my life on the beach in a beautiful fairy tale experience, which we'll share later, I am now supporting women to create conscious relationships. So to really find themselves first, so that then they can magnetically and energetically attract their, see, people say soulmate. I call it a divine partner, right? But when I was little, I do remember there was a couple of things. I remember the first experience I remember is I must have been about 6 or 7 years old, and I'm walking past the lounge room and Woodstock, because I was born in 71, so Woodstock was being replayed, or they were talking about it on the news or something. Something was going on about Woodstock on the TV. And I remember having this moment of looking at it and going, oh my gosh, I've come down too late. And then having this moment of going, come down from where and too late for what? Like, what am I talking about? So that was one of the first moments. But also, my dad was on a kidney machine the whole time I was, as long as I can remember. And he had his machine at home. So, you know, 3 times a week he had to go on for, I think it was about 6 hours, if I remember correctly. And I used to help him put it together. And, you know, even as a young age, I was, you know, putting the tubes in and blah, blah, blah. And on a regular basis, I used to say to him, because we'd lay down on the bed and talk, and I'd say to him, I don't want you to die, and cry. And he'd be like, oh, I'm not going to die. You know, like, why would you say that? Well, at 15 years old, he got a kidney. You know, he was the longest in our state to be on machine, got a kidney, didn't work, they needed to take it out, and he died when I was 15. And so that was the start of my, what are we doing here? You know, where did he go? I had this feeling he was in a library somewhere, which was really weird for me. And so, you know, he didn't believe in God because they'd been Christians prior to me, but when I'm the youngest. So when he went on the machine, he went, you know, if there is a God, he's an asshole because why would he do this to me, right? So my auntie, I grew up with my auntie being a Christian, but in our household there was nothing. And so I was like, you know, is there a library in heaven? Where did he go? You know, so that was the start of me really questioning and starting to draw in where I'm at now, you know, before I even knew I had any abilities.
And I think it's really interesting how abilities kind of surface, because for some people it can be really abrupt and jarring and alarming. For some people, it can be a great kind of unraveling or revealing over time that's really gentle and not so scary. And so I'm wondering, was yours either one of those or in the middle maybe?
It was a bit jarring. So when Dad died, 15, didn't know my mum because she was working all the time. I was grieving big time and spent 10 years like on drugs and, you know, just completely numbing myself. Was with a partner. We met at school, you know, and so at the end of that we had children and I started waking up to, I need to clean up my act, right? I'm a mum now. And so we separated and I went and did a diploma in remedial massage and was doing that, and then I moved closer to him so that he could see the kids and they could see him. And there was this friend of ours that was saying, you've got to go and see this psychic, right? She's amazing and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't believe in them. I thought they were charlatans, you know, like just going to just take my money. And so anyway, she kept on hassling me, you know, and so I ended up going just to shut her up. And I walked into this woman's house and she said, what are you doing here? You obviously, you know, you can do what I do, but obviously you don't know it. And through that process, and I, you know, I'm thinking, oh, here we go. You know, this is her trying to get more money out of me. But in the process of being there, she, first of all, she told me about a car accident I had and told me my dad was there and four others, and, you know, a car accident that no one knew about. There was no other car, so it was just me, and I'd done it like 360 in the middle of the road, and everyone was like, how did you not flip the car? And when I said something to her, she said they all sat on the boot of the car so that it didn't flip. And so I actually had this touch from my dad. It was the first time I had, you know, a spiritual energy touch me. And so when I went home, I had all these energies like for 2 or 3 days. And so I rang her up and I'm like, what's going on? This is freaking me out. And she said, they're all just happy that you've woken up. It'll calm down soon. And I said, well, can I make another appointment? And she said, no. I'm like, huh? Like, I thought you were, you know, like I thought you'd want to take my money. And she now, I, you know, she obviously was genuine because she recognized that I needed to go on this path by myself. And so I had no idea what I was doing, had no friends that were spiritual, found myself in a little spiritual group, you know, center and doing meditation. And through that process, I think it was within a month, I found myself in a little group and we were all doing past life regression. And so, yeah, it was 7 years of past life regression training. But those first, you know, like I had no idea what I was doing. And also because I didn't have any background, was meeting all these people that were like, we're Lemurian sisters, or we know each other from Sirius. And I'm like, huh? What are you even talking about? You know? And I've got this guy next to me, you know, he's a Native American Indian and his name's Fred. You know, like I haven't got any of this, you know, like, so you start feeling really inadequate. So, you know, you've got no idea what you're doing and no one actually sharing with you that what's actually happening for you internally and what you take as just natural is what all these people are talking about, but they've languaged it a different way. And so, you know, I remember when I recognized that actually I have this, if I tuned into it, I just was taking it as, you know, just part of who I am. As soon as I recognized that, I had this thing, I'm like, I'm on a mission to share with people that we actually already have what other people are talking about if we just tune into it. So no one's specialer than anyone else. We all have the opportunity to tap into whatever we want to.
And I think what really resonates for me, I mean, thank you for sharing all of that, but what really resonates is what you said at the end, which is no one is more special than everyone else, than anyone else. Mm. I'm sorry. And what is important for me in that statement is we live in a world, a society, a culture, not everyone. Okay. I'm making a blanket statement where being recognized and getting famous is the rule of the day. And some people seem to think or feel that, you know, those likes, those approvals, those, you know, the money you're making all indicates that you're more special, more precious, you know, more important than those around you. And it's really interesting to just be out in the world and witness people's behavior when they do believe that they're better than everyone else or they are more important. And so I think it's so essential that no matter what happens in your life, however much money you make, however many likes you have on your TikTok or whatever, we're all exactly the same. No one's more important than anyone else. We're all here. You know, I just tell people, you know, first of all, I know nothing. Okay. So even, you know, and that's why I haven't started my TikTok is because I really want to make sure that my voice and what is coming out of my mouth is real and important and contributing versus, I haven't found that yet. I haven't found that voice yet, but I also say, I mean, I say, I know nothing, everyone. Okay. Hello. Know nothing. And number two is, it's going to take some time for me. Okay. Because, I don't know what I want to contribute. Oh, you want to say something? Yes.
I totally understand that I know nothing because that is the premise of my whole being is innocence. Because when you can step into your innocence and be in that space of opportunity and potential, then you're more likely to be able to experience mastery because masters have that ability of just being completely open to all possibilities and knowing nothing. Like we have the experience of holding data inside us. And so when I'm sharing information, I'm sharing it from my perspective, right? But your perspective could be completely different. And so, you know, we share our perspective. And so that's what's so beautiful. We were having that conversation before we started that when, you know something and, you know, getting that information out and being able to share it with whoever is available to listen to it, but also receiving the information from somebody else that might not be your information, but it's really interesting to listen to somebody else's perspective of life and allow them to be that, like allow them to be whoever they are and to experience themselves in whatever fashion that they want to experience themselves, you know. And we're all, unfortunately, because of the way we've grown up, you know, it's just the way the structure is, we're all looking for validation external to ourselves because, you know, we've all had some form of unmet validation through our childhood. And so that's what's going on, you know. Here we are all trying to validate our existence by the TikTok likes and the, you know, all of those things, right? Instead of going internal and recognizing that we're valid just because we exist. I remember two things that just come up for me. I remember, you know, I moved down from the rainforest. I was living up in far north Queensland in, you know, the Daintree rainforest and or up that way. And I'd moved back to Sydney in a suburb that's like, you know, it's called Blacktown. It's like the ghetto in this America, right? It's where I grew up to look after my mum. And I was doing it hard, right? Like it was, you know, I remember I used to just tune into a tree or a crow just to find nature, you know, like, and it was really challenging. But I remember this moment where I'm at the shopping centre just getting food for me and mum, and I was at the cash register, and this woman walks past with her trolley, and she was just another empowered woman. And I looked up and we both just smiled at each other, this knowing of, yep, I see you, you see me. And like, it was just this smile, right? And it was just enough to shift my energy, to remind myself who I am, you know, oh, there's another beautiful soul, you know? And it was just that elevation, right? Just a smile.
Sometimes it's the simple things. I was going to say, you know, my second question always is, did you grow up in a religious household? You kind of already answered that a little bit. But some people would look at maybe some of the stories you've shared already, some of the things you've related, the way you, you know, position yourself to the world, how you interact with it or interpret it. And they say, okay, I don't understand that. And that's just a little strange. Did anything like in your childhood help support your evolution at all into where you are today?
I've got to tell you, I didn't grow up in a religious household, but my auntie is very, you know, Christian. And whenever she could get her hands on me, she would, you know, take me to church or Sunday school. I do not classify myself as a Christian out there in the world, but I do consider myself to be very pure in my Christianity. I've had several experiences with Jesus myself, and things that, you know, might be a bit controversial because not always aligned with what, you know, the church or the Bible. But I know for a fact, I remember I was around about 7 or 8 years old, and I was doing something in the lounge room on the floor in my auntie's house, and she was in the kitchen, and we were having a conversation about Jesus. And I can't remember exactly what she said, but I do remember saying to her, so you're telling me that if any time I'm in trouble or dark alley or something goes wrong, all I've got to do is call on Jesus and he will come. And she said, yes. And I distinctly remember this shift in my energy, like this flash of shivering over my body that I now feel, as I've matured, it was a spiritual baptism. And I've been in some pretty hairy experiences, you know, 10 years on drugs was, and, you know, all the things. I have never once not been protected, not been guided the right way, you know, all through those experiences. I've also, once I woke up, I've always had Christians in my life, to the point, like, I remember this time when I was like, why do I have all these Christians in my life? You know, like, am I supposed to be a Christian? Or, and I remember someone saying, did you ever think that you're supposed to be in their life? Like, oh, I hadn't thought of that, you know. And I had this moment where I had a, you know, a Christian in my life. She was about 70. She was the first woman I met when I moved up to Far North Queensland. And she was really on to me about being a Christian and getting into the Bible and church and everything. And I had this moment of questioning, and I'm washing up, right? The kids are at school, washing up. What am I supposed to be doing? Should I be a Christian? But this doesn't feel right, and this doesn't feel right. And so I sort of just took my hands out and went and laid on the first bed that was available. One of my children's beds, and I had Jesus come to me with a crown of thorns on his head. Now, my auntie was a Christian and my next door neighbors were Catholic. So crown of thorns to me was a Catholic thing. So I wouldn't have put that on in my imagination. So it was a bit of a shock, like, why has he got that on his head, you know? And he said to me, why do you think you would be treated any different than I did? I was. And I had this moment of, oh my gosh, they killed you. Like, and it was like, you know, get back off your soapbox, Elizabeth, and just, you know, be humble and be okay with what you believe in. I then, going through my life, I've always had this strong connection to Jesus. Long story short, became a Christian at one stage through a business mentor that I went to her events, and she was teaching from the Bible. And I read the Bible cover to cover twice because I realized I was making a judgment of the book, you know, so amazing information, right? And I became a Christian through reading the Bible. Got burnt by some Christians and I was coming out of that, and I was at another business event, and they were getting you to upscale, you know, into the next level and blah, blah, blah. And I had that moment again of being seen, and you're supposed to be humble. And it was this moment of, what am I doing? And, you know, because I had this story about the two trees, right? Which tree am I in? Am I in the tree of knowledge, or am I in the tree of good and evil? And so it was, you know, doing my head in. Anyway, I had this moment, and they had this transformational meditation at the end. And I had just created, through this business training, a Facebook group called Women of Light. So I've now changed that name, but that's what it was called to start with, Women of Light. So that would have been about a month before. And so we're in this meditation, and the guy was trying to be Tony Robbins, right? So he's really loud and obnoxious on the microphone. The music's blaring, and everyone, there was about 50 people in the room. We're all standing up. And again, I have this doubt. Am I doing the right thing? Which tree am I in? And I have this memory, this thing pops in my head that says, in the Bible it says, if you call on Jesus Christ, no one else can come. You call my name and I will be the one that comes. So I called on him, and I had this wash of peace just come over my body, and this voice in my head, stay with me, stay with me. And I just broke down and fell on the ground, because I realized throughout all of the drug use, all of the past life regression, all of the weird things that had happened to me, the three shooting stars when I asked for validation, all of these weird things that had happened, it was all with him. And no book, no church, no person outside of myself would tell me what my relationship was with Christ. And I just had this breakdown and bawling and crying. Well, when you come out of one of those things, you know, you start coming back into yourself and realize that you're on the floor in the middle of this meditation with all these people, right? I start coming back into myself. So I'm starting to, you know, be aware of my surroundings. And I start getting up, getting ready to get up, and I'm standing up. And as I'm standing up, I hear the music, and the music, the chorus comes on of whatever the song was. I know the song, but I can't think of its name. And the chorus goes, so I just did that Women of Light Facebook group, right? So the chorus says, as I'm standing up, light up, as if you have a choice, even if you cannot hear my voice, I'm right there by your side. And I just smiled and started laughing and dancing. And, you know, I just knew from that moment on that I'm okay to be where I'm at and what I'm thinking and what I'm doing and what I'm sharing and all of those things. So, you know, that's my experience. And again, I will just emphasize that that doesn't mean that I then make any judgment of anyone that has a different experience of Christ or the Bible or church or anything like that. You know, like everyone's on their own journey. And it does say in the Bible, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's one of the first things it says, right? So God is all of this. So how can we make judgment of any of it? Because then we're judging ourselves and we're judging God.
I have a couple of funny things to tell you. You know, I went to, unbeknownst to me, when I was so young, 18, 19, I didn't know I was going to become an ordained pastor, and I didn't know I was going to be going to seminary and getting a master's of divinity in the future. I'm a panentheist, but you know, that master's of divinity is so freighted, right? There's so much meaning behind it that maybe is you don't mean and it's unintentional. So in college, I joined a sorority called Alpha Chi Omega, which means the beginning and the end. And like 10 years later, reflecting on it, I realized in the Bible and Revelation, God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And so for me, that's always been, I look back at that and it's been a portent of kind of where my life was going to go unexpectedly. But I think it's also important, you know, what you said at the end, you know, God or that energy, that spirit shows up in different ways for different people. And, you know, a Christian could have a vision of Buddha, or a Buddhist could have a vision of Jesus, or, you know, Muhammad or what have you, because those ancient archetypes, those energies, those spirits that defy explanation, that we can't even conceive of, that make themselves small so that we can actually maybe sort of understand what they're saying. They don't delineate, this person's Muslim, maybe I should come as Muhammad, or, you know, or this person's, you know, Native American, maybe I should come as the great spirit. And I have a funny story. In 2010, I moved to Florida to help my friend Linda, who's going through, at the time it was experimental brain surgery for Parkinson's. So I was there for 2 months, and, there had been just been massive eclipses that had happened. And I had been crying since January of 2010 every day, and kind of cathartic. Like I couldn't control it. It was so huge. My tarot cards were just saying this is a cleansing, but I didn't know of what. And I was just crying and crying. And I went down to Linda's in March, driving from Portland to Florida, crying every day. I thought, I am losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. And I had been at Linda's for about, I would say, 4 to 5 weeks. And I was laying in bed crying again, thinking, I am losing my mind. I need, what is happening with me? It felt like a descent into madness because I just could not stop. And all of a sudden, this figure came, Jesus, which I was shocked because I'm not Christian, in a lotus position, came and said, well, if you want to start crying, just kind of, you're going to have to say that I'm real. And I was like, what? And he said, yeah, if you want to stop crying, once you say that I'm real, you're going to stop crying. And then he disappeared. And I thought, okay, what just happened? I looked around the bedroom and I thought, what is going on? Am I going crazy? I don't know what's happening right now. And then I thought, Jesus, Oh my gosh, what is really even double what's happening? Because I'm not Christian. I don't understand this. And so I wrestled with it for a few days, but finally I understood that I've been given a glimpse or a vision of something that was outside of myself, that was larger than myself, you know? And this was at a time when I sort of didn't believe in this kind of thing, but it was so intentional and intense and beyond my understanding that I kind of just acquiesced. And I've always been a romantic at heart and a mystic at heart. And I said, okay, all right. Okay, you're real. And by God, if I didn't stop crying 2 or 3 days later, all of that pain and sorrow and that whatever I was expressing, it disappeared. And peace, it was just ultimate peace came over me. And so, you know, even though I wasn't Christian, you know, why would I have a vision of Jesus? And it's through time that I've understood, you know what? They're going to show up anyway to help us on our path, to help us reach the next level or understand something or to give us a message.
My life has been one thing after the other, and that's why I was saying to you, like, I just realized, you know, I need to start sharing some of these stories because it's little things too. Like, I mean, I've had, you know, when I had those Christians in my life, the Margaret that was in my life, and I was doing the past life regression, I, you know, who am I working for? And so I had, you know, this moment where I asked the universe, you know, like, I need a sign, and I got 3 shooting stars. But little things like, and you know, I've met the love of my life on the beach, which was a really beautiful experience. I was just sharing with you, I've been a healer for 25 years. My maiden name is Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, and his last name is Makepeace. Like, what are the odds, right? But these little tiny moments. So I remember when I was just starting to work out all this spiritual stuff, you know, and I, you know, manifestation and all that sort of stuff. And I was living up in Queensland and decided I'm a single mum, decided I wanted to get a new car. And so I got a loan and I told my mum I was coming down to Sydney for Christmas, told my mum I was coming down and I want to look for a car while I'm up down here. And her partner is a backyard mechanic sort of guy. And she said, oh, he's this guy, so his name's Raheem, and he actually knows someone that's selling this car. And so I had this list of all the things I wanted. I'm like, look at how good I am, you know, like, it's manifested already, you know. And anyway, so I'm in Blacktown. My brother was in Hurstville, and so I'm catching this train backwards and forwards. But every time I went past Rockdale, like, the train never stopped there. It was always just, you know, one of the stations you went past. For some reason, even if I was reading, I'd look up right where Rockdale was. I'm like, what's the big deal with Rockdale? And so anyway, the day that this guy is coming over with the car, we're driving back to my mum's house, and I get a phone call from her saying, sorry, but the guy that was going to sell you the car is a uni student, and he's just met this woman, and he's not going to go back over to Pakistan, so he's not selling the car. And I'm like, so I went into this whole, like, I'm not good at this and blah, 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 right? Anyway, my brother says to me, let's have a look. We'll go and have a look at some cars. So we looked up online and had a list, start looking for some cars, couldn't find anything. He gets really hangry. So lunchtime comes and he wants some food. He said, let's stop and get some food. Well, unbeknown to me, we're in Rockdale, stop at a cafe, sit down outside, and we're eating food, and I look over and here's this car for sale. And so look over at it, exactly what I want, ring up the guy that, and he said, oh, I never take that car out, it's my sister's car, you know, I can't believe you saw it, and blah, blah, blah. So we get him, you know, down some money and decide to do the transaction. So I'm living up in Cairns. That's far north Queensland is Cairns. And I'm here in Sydney, which is like a different state altogether. We transfer the money and I get her information. So her last name is the same as my stepfather, right? So Rahim. Her last name is Rahim. She lives in Cairns Avenue. And when I'm saying, this is how it works, right? So I'm showing Rahim and he looks at it. She lives in the same block of flats as I was going to get the from the first guy, the first car, in a whole different suburb. And she lives in 16 and he lives in 19. So even the 6 and the 9, it was just like one thing after the other. And I'm like, okay, that's my car, right? And I have those sort of experiences all the time. Move from Oleander Street to Oleander Drive. Had, you know, moved into a house in Kingswood, and my in the same street, the same name street, and I won't say it because my brother still lives there, but I live in this street in Kingswood. He lives in the same street in Springwood. And it's just like all these things all the time, like on a regular basis, I get things like that. Like it's crazy when you, I call it following the white rabbit, right? Going down the rabbit hole into Wonderland. Because, and even when I decided to define it like that, I live in Shell Cove in New South Wales, right near the beach, in like a little suburb, little corner, you know, normal street. I decided to start saying follow the white rabbit to understand energy. And the next morning, I wake up early, we're in the kitchen, and here is a hare in the middle of the road, like not even just a rabbit, a hare. It was massive, just in the middle of the road in a suburb in at the beach. Like, so these things happen to me all the time, and it's because there's this connection, right? There's this awareness of more than myself. I've cleared the energy of doubt, fear, worry, concern, all of the things that tether us to being weighted down and being, you know, just a human and separate. When you can clear those things out of the way, then you're more aligned with that frequency of God that's just directing you, and you just follow. And magic happens all the time.
I think it's important to also understand that, you know, because I've certainly had people come on and they've told stories of ghosts, or they've told stories of premonitions and something's come true later on, or events, or the way they experience the world, and then suddenly it happens. But I think it's also important to understand that in our lives, you have to be open, right, to the signs or the messages. So you have to be willing to, you know, and maybe that's what that whole experience was when I was in Florida taking care of my friend Linda. You know, Jesus wasn't necessarily saying, believe in me. Maybe Jesus was just saying, believe in this, you know, and believe in like co-creating this reality together. Be open to the messages, be open to the magic that's happening. Just be open in general. I think we should all just be open in general to the adventure. I mean, and I know a lot of people's lives are very challenging and filled with a lot of struggle and pain and hurt, but also, you know, inside all of that can be joy and wonder and awe as well.
Often our suffering is to show us that there's something more, right? Like, and I think, you know, I personally feel that if we can recognize ourselves as not separate to everything else, just that little belief of, oh, I'm part of something, opens you up to not just relying on yourself and this limitation that we see ourselves in, but opens yourself up to the opportunity to be, to receive love from the universe. You know, like we may feel lonely, but as soon as you go, okay, I'm open to receiving something, give me a sign, give me something, you know, and doing it from a genuine place of innocence, right? And surrender, you know, when you can surrender to being just yourself, like, and surrender to the fact that we are more than this, that's when you can start breaking out of that shell. You know, that's when you unplug from the matrix. That's when you recognize that you are Neo, you know, and you can, and, you know, stop the bullets and start recognizing that, you know, there is help out there if you just are open to it.
You know, speaking to that, you alluded or told a story about being in that car crash earlier in your life. And then you talked about drug use, you know, which people would consider both of those experiences to be really challenging, a lot of suffering, scary, kind of maybe being lost or having an experience of feeling that you're maybe forsaken or something like that. And everybody's life has those moments where that people feel lost or forsaken, like they've been forgotten by God. Did it take a long time going through all of these different things? Because I certainly don't know them all at this point, but to more consciously step into the realization that, you know, there's a path, there are reasons for challenging things that happen in our lives. Did that take a long time? Or, you know, when you had the car crash, did you think, oh my gosh, this was scary. This, how did this happen? What happened? But I know that I'm taken care of ultimately.
The car crash was interesting because, yeah, I never, it's really interesting for someone that, you know, I grew up in a family that, you know, I was born after a stillborn, and I'm the reason I'm alive is because he wasn't. And so back those days, you know, they were, mum and dad were told, you know, have another baby. That was the healing back then. So I'm here because Bradley passed. And I was also brought up to not believe in anything I, you know, what I saw, what I experienced was wrong. Like, no, you didn't see that. You didn't experience that. This is what you experienced. So, you know, very much love my mum. But, you know, I think she didn't know what she was doing either. And I had very ingrained energy of I'm not capable and I don't know. And so I used to believe everyone else knew what was going on in the world except for me. And that causes a lot of pain, like to really not believe in yourself and to, like, real survival mode stuff, you know, like, because how could I believe anything that I thought when I was indoctrinated with it's actually wrong? So it was a long process to recognize myself and that what I felt, thought, believed was valid in some way. It did. It took a long time. And one of the reasons why I was in a relationship for 10 years, you know, with an alcoholic, and, you know, I was on drugs, we were both on drugs, you know, numbing myself to the fact that I didn't believe in myself or, you know, being controlled and just living like that on a regular basis. It wasn't until I had children that something clicked and I, you know, that mother instinct maybe of I need to look after someone. And so I think because I'd grown up looking after my dad and the family, that gave me a role. And so it was still an external marker. It was still, you know, something outside of myself that motivated me to start making different decisions and to stand up for myself and to do the scary thing of leaving because, oh my gosh, that was really hard, right? I left several times and ended up back with him, and you know, we just couldn't, you know, I'm sure that we still love each other, you know. And so it is, it's a process, and it's a process of understanding that you matter. And it doesn't matter if what you think everybody else thinks is wrong. If you think it, then you think it. And it's just acknowledging that it's okay for you to think that something's black when everybody else is saying it's white, you know, like, and that doesn't mean you've got to go and smash them over the head with it. If, you know, if that's not what you're feeling to do, it's being okay with accepting that internally and then incrementally shifting and moving and taking action just from that thought and that belief, however that looks to you. And maybe it is just starting to recognize that you can say no sometimes. You know, it might be just that little movement.
So you have to know that I so appreciate, and I'm always endlessly intrigued by alchemy so much. Not, but it's not ever present in my life. And I had this dream that I think you'll find interesting, just because I literally don't live with alchemy, and it's not something. And I just recently had a huge shift in my life. Well, the last couple of years, but massive shift about a month ago, and was thrown into a place that was really unfamiliar and scary for me. Still is a little bit. And I was house sitting for a friend on the Gulf Coast in Louisiana. But this might speak to you. I think it'll be interesting enough to share with you. So I had a dream that I was at a Mexican restaurant with my mother and my siblings. I ordered cabbage rolls, despite the fact it was a Mexican restaurant, and they ordered their food. It seemed like they were visiting me. I told them another part of the restaurant was haunted and they should check it out. So they did. As I was sitting there, I overheard part of a conversation at another table. The people seemed eccentric, talking about alchemy, but I mostly ignored them. After my family left, suddenly a man appeared at my table wearing an old-fashioned frock coat, and he asked if I'd like to go through the alchemical process or something. I felt nervous about it, and I didn't understand why I said yes, but I did say yes. I wasn't scared of him, but something about him unsettled me. He said okay, and he sat down. He said, first, you need to drink this, and he handed me something that looked like coffee. He said, this is just the beginning, and it might make you sleepy. So I drank it, and after a few minutes, I started to nod off. While I felt like I was asleep, I could also observe what was going on. He did some other things that are escaping me as I forget the dream, but it seemed like it was a four-part process. The rest of the restaurant was emptying out, and before I knew it, it was completely empty. Even his friends had left. I couldn't figure out what was taking my family so long because they weren't coming back. I looked around at what he was doing, and I found him rubbing a ligament or something on my back to the left side of my spine. He was rubbing it, and it was so tight, and I thought, or I told him, yes, my body is so tense. I turned around because I was sitting on his lap and it looked like he was crying. I couldn't tell if he was crying because he understood the tension in my body and was sad about it, or if he was crying because of something to come. But suddenly I realized the process was done, and I turned around and I thanked him, and his dog appeared. His dog was one of those dogs you see at a fire station with all the spots, a Dalmatian. He was white, but had this curious glowing green and purple hue. So it was a dog that sort of glowed and then suddenly was gone. The restaurant was starting to fill up again. Families were coming in. I started trying to find my family in all the different rooms, but I couldn't find them and no one knew where they were. Then I decided to walk back to my table, and that's when I started waking up. But then as I was waking up, this word was said to me over and over again, and I woke up with it still being said, albedo. Albedo, albedo. And I had no, I mean, look, I do not dream like this. I don't even, but I woke up thinking, okay, I think I was just told something. And then I looked up what that word meant. And it means it's like the purification or the cleansing process in alchemy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So alchemy is making the volatile fixed and the fixed volatile. And albedo is one of those processes, right? So that's a beautiful. So when did you have that dream? How long ago?
Probably, I would say, about three and a half weeks ago.
Okay. And have you noticed anything? Have you noticed any difference in your life?
Well, I mean, I was having these, I mean, for multiple years, it's been really scary. A heart arrhythmia that is actually really acute at times. All the doctors are like, we don't know. I've had everything testing done and nobody can find any reason for why it's happening, but it's caused me to not be able to work. You know, my body doesn't seem to absorb salts or electrolytes. And so I have to, you know, drink certain things so that I don't know whatever's going on with my body, but that seems to have gotten better over the past three and a half weeks. I'm also, you know, feeling like I don't have to eat as much food as I normally do. I want to eat cleaner. It just feels like a few things are shifting in that way.
Yeah. And dreams are powerful, right? Like when we're on a spiritual journey, dreams can be part of that transition and the magic. And, you know, we can get healings in the middle of dreams. So the fact that it was on the left-hand side and it was, you know, something that you needed to massage out means it was a feminine aspect of yourself. And so, you know, there's a few things in there that I was like, oh, yeah, so the cabbage rolls in the Mexican thing, meaning that, you know, you were outside of the norm. You know, like you were in a space where you were eating something or nourishing yourself differently to what the theme was or the way the life was. So all those little things are very interesting. And I would say that that group of people were your guides, like some teachers for you. I've had similar dreams. I've had Jesus come to me and take stuff out of my feet and all sorts of crazy stuff. So when you're on a spiritual path, that's, you know, I don't know how people live and exist, and that's maybe why there's so much suffering in the world, because when you really open yourself up to this sort of stuff, it's so much fun. You know, you can do so many things and be aware of all of this joy, and you know, you're on a path and you're being enlightened. So those things were obviously some sort of transition for you and some sort of healing. You can actually ask before you go to bed, okay, I'm ready for the next level. Take me to the next level. So, you know, making sure that you're off phones and any devices an hour before bed and an hour when you wake up, and being in your own energy and just allowing that to come through, and just set the intention. I'm ready for the next level. What is it that I need from, you know, to move to the next vibration or whatever it is, and to see what happens. You know, you said it can be scary. Something that just came up that I think is really important for your listeners to hear. When I was doing past life regression, it was a really interesting process, you know, and for the first couple of years, I didn't actually believe in it. You know, very grounded. My brain is scientific, right? So I didn't believe in any of this stuff, but it's still like having things shift and move and change in my body. But I got to the process where I recognized what was happening and how it was working and all these things. And I have this, you know, it started shifting from past lives to having like experiences. So I have this experience where I go into the devil's lair, right? And so I'm in this cave, and I walk in, and there's emancipated, you know, people like ball and chain and picks and like, you know, feel skinny and malnourished, and they're all there doing their thing. And I walked in and I said to them, you know, it's a choice to be here. You don't have to be here if you don't want to. You can just make the choice not to be here. Well, 3/4 of them instantly left, right? Because they recognized and was allowed to make a choice. Well, next thing, from the back of the cave, this roar comes out, and this huge, like, demon, the devil, you know, like, comes, and he's screaming and swearing, what the F are you doing in my house? Get the F out, blah, 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 you know. And I'm in my light body, so I'm not scared at all. And I'm like, well, you know that this is a co-creation. You know the laws of the universe as well as I do. I wouldn't be here if you didn't want me here, or, you know, you weren't part of this process. So what am I doing here, right? So you can imagine he was furious, right? So he's roaring and screaming. But as I said that, he shrinks a bit. So we're having this conversation, and he's screaming, trying to get me out. He tried to eat me at one stage, right? But every time I'm like, well, let's talk about this. Let's sort this out, you know, like, let's work out why I'm here. And he'd shrink and he'd shrink and he'd shrink. And he got to this point where there was a throne behind him. And next thing I know, he's this little baby on the throne. And I have this moment of just my heart, oh, he's just innocent like we are, you know. So I pick him up, and before I even know what I'm doing, I pick him up and my hands go and put him in my heart, and he disappears into my heart. And I realize that he was me. So it's all us. It's all us. So all of our guides, all of the things, all the dreams, everything that's happening, when we can be in the image of God, it's all us. That's when you let go of fear.
I think you just dropped the mic and walked away.
Such a beautiful moment. It really was. It was such a, you know, a realization of that it is. It's all us. So when we're in fear, it's that opportunity, like, what's inside of me that's concerned about this? And often it's because we don't know, right? But we go into the fear of the unknown in a I'm not capable or something, you know, something's going, we've been indoctrinated into it, that there's something wrong, that we're broken in some way. But when we can go into the unknown in innocence, in our childlike innocence, you know, that is when we have the opportunity to clear anything that's getting in the way, and to love deeply, and to recognize ourselves as more than this.
I'd love to ask, did you ever experience, or have you ever experienced this kind of, I don't know, this, one of my guests called it an anointing on his heart. You know, a preacher came out to him and said, you have an anointing on your heart, which meant that he was going to be called to something greater later in his life. Did you ever have a feeling of a little bit of resentment or annoyance that there was kind of this calling that you had to step into? I mean, I believe in free will, so you could have ignored the calling, but it's like, when it's kind of a compulsion at the same time, like that calling is ever calling you and it's hard to resist stepping into your life path. Did you ever experience any resentment or just kind of I don't know, a little grumbly about your what you were called to do?
I think I did in a way, not so much of being called. Yeah, in a way, I've always felt, I think that I've always known that, you know, I'm here to, like a lot of people, to make a difference in the world and, you know, raise the vibration of the planet and all of those things. But I remember when I was first spiritually waking up and I didn't realize that I had, you know, you don't know what you know sometimes and it sort of comes to you. And so I didn't realize that I had this thing that we're all one and we're here to experience and all of those things. I didn't know that that was part of my knowing. And I'm spiritually waking up and all these weird things are happening and blah, blah, blah. And long story short, I won't even tell you the story of the cat, but I met this guy across the road, this old bushman guy, and had to go to his house to get a signature that he witnessed that these dogs had attacked my cat. And so I go over, and because I didn't know anyone, right? Like I've just spiritually woken up and I've got no idea. And I go over and he's got Buddhist sayings all over his walls, just little things that he's written and posted, you know, didn't look like a Buddhist at all, you know, like just an old bushman. So we start talking and he's the one that he gave me my first book. It was actually the fourth book of Conversations with God. It was Relationship with God from Neil Donald Walsh. And so I then, and I was like, oh my gosh, someone that thinks like I do. So I went and I started reading the first book. And basically in those books, he says, God says, we're all here to experience life, you know, like we're just here to be part of the everything. And there's this part where Neil says, and, you know, once we connect back in, what happens? And he's like, basically, once it's all the oneness again, it just happens again. That whole breath thing you were just talking about, breathing in, breathing out. And I had this moment of being so pissed off, like, what? We're here to do it again? Like, there's no real purpose to this. Like, we're doing all of this is pain and suffering and all the things that are going on just to experience and then go and do it all over again. And I went into depression for quite a while of like, this sucks, like, you know, until I reckon, you know, and I feel like I've always had this awareness of what it's like to be home, you know, like to be not in the body. And in that moment, like, it was months of like just wanting to go back home, you know, like, this, I don't want to be here. And that was a process in itself, you know, being okay with the fact that this is just one big process that we're all going through and there's no actual, you know, reason for it, which is not true because there, you know, like when you look at the bigger scheme of things and all the nuances of the whole thing, it's a long process, right? It's not just the blink of an eye when you're in the oneness. And so when you step out of that and you see your part in the bigger thing that's, you know, trillions of years old most probably, and has no time and space, right? So, you know, the dichotomy of the whole thing, you can go back in and start being okay with just having the experience and being part of the growth and moving people, you know, reminding people that we are more than this and that we can wake up to being not broken and a creator and all of those things, right? So, there was a moment where I was like this, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I didn't sign up for this, but yes, I did.
I hope you all enjoyed my funky interview with Elizabeth Makepeace this episode, and I hope you enjoyed getting to know another incredible human being out there working their magic in this world. There will be a link to Elizabeth's website in the episode show notes. And for those of you who appreciate the work that I'm putting out into the world, please do consider leaving a rating or writing a little review. And then guess what? There's a shiny new YouTube channel. So click on the link in the show notes and check out the work I've been doing over there. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Elizabeth. Know that we're all connected and that everything is one, and that the idea of us all being separate is an illusion. I think if you live with that idea that we're all connected and that everyone is you and you are everyone else, then I think we'll be a little kinder to each other, a little nicer to that stranger that we meet on the street. So live with the idea that everything's connected and everything is groovy, and I think pretty soon the world will become a more delicious and funky place.